Shall we stand together for the reading of the call to worship to be followed by the singing of the hymn? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his bounty toward me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
For Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore celebrate the feast.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him.
You may be seated, and as you are, would you bow your heads and your hearts with me as we go to God in prayer? Almighty God, whose power stretches to the furthest reaches of space, and yet whose presence is experienced in the depths of our own beings, we come before Thee this day to worship Thee. We praise Thee for Thy manifold blessings poured out on our behalf. We come to this place in remembrance of past blessings experienced. We praise Thee for pouring out Thyself in Thy servants in days of old, for speaking Thy word to Thy people through prophets and through law and even through the natural order. But we praise Thee most especially for speaking to us through Thy Son, Jesus the Christ. We come remembering Him in a special way this day, O God. We praise You for the grace that was poured out through His life for ours. And we praise You that He doth abide with us still. We come to this place, O God, mindful of the time of the year it is on our human calendar, mindful that Thanksgiving is just another sunrise away. We pray that You would make that truly a day of praising and thanking Thee for us, and that You would enable us to make every day a day of praise to Thee. We come to Thee mindful of the fact that just another Sunday away is the beginning of Advent, when we begin the countdown toward Christmas Day to celebrate in a special way the coming of our Lord Christ, and to remind ourselves once again that He's coming again in power. We pray that You would touch us with memory and touch us with Your presence during these special days. For we lift this prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Would you stand with me for the responsive reading? The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. We remember with thankfulness our Lord Jesus Christ, His abiding presence, His bountiful blessings, His love, care, and concern.
His forgiveness, grace, and salvation, the eternal hope that we have in Him.
Lord, we remember.
We have in the language a familiar word, thanksgiving. I wish somehow today we could go on record on our campus and cut a covenant and create a new word. Change the G to an L and add to the vocabulary forever the reality best described by a word, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, what exactly is that? Well, I think the ancient psalmist caught a glimpse of what it's all about when in the 92nd song, he writes, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." Now, I doubt very seriously that that rhapsody was spun off on the spur of the moment. I doubt that it was the product of a lick and a promise and a rushed-up prayer. I rather think it is the product of a person in reflecting upon life that had known the best of times and the worst of times from morning until evening and at high noon, and then thanked God for the chance to live all the time. Thanksgiving, what is that? But perhaps the apostle knew when he told the Ephesians, and he tells us in the 5th chapter, "Be controlled by the Spirit, making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that's tough as nails. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't do that by circling a date on a calendar, do you? The Apostle Paul really had a go at it, I guess, as hard as anybody ever tried to do that. Converted and called to apostleship in the same white hot exposure of his life to his risen Lord, transversing the deserts of Arabia and the equally hostile streets of Jerusalem to get a focus on his apostleship in the heartland of religious leave things just as they are-ism. Climbing the Taurus Mountains, crossing the Hellespont with the gospel to place it in difficult places. Who came to see his person, his gospel, and his apostolic office challenged severely. Whether robust or frail in body, mind, and spirit, all of him took awesome pressure. Every congregation he helped to establish brought him as much pain as it brought him joy. No stranger to dangers and deprivations, living out of a suitcase, in jail, out of jail, stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, eventually beheaded on the Appian Way. He had a go at it, giving thanks all the time for everything. Thanksgiving. How do you do that? Well, maybe Chanticleer knows how to do it. Chanticleer was a rooster. Proud bird, the king of the barnyard, a vain sort of creature who prided himself on his plumage and his prominence. Most of all, he congratulated himself for the sunrise. For everybody thereabouts knew that his crowing every morning caused the sun to come up over the horizon. Chanticleer was glad. Till one morning he overslept, and upon awaking was surprised to discover the sun already up. There it was, high in the sky, and it had gotten there without one note of crowing from him. He was dashed. Just then a wise old hen came by. And she rescued him from his despair by saying, "If by your crowing you cannot bring in the dawn, then by your crowing you can celebrate its coming." That is thanksgiving. To recognize that we cannot make a single day dawn or stop a single day from dawning, yet we can celebrate each day which does. Thanksgiving. I like the thanksgiving of Jeremiah Taylor, that peerless preacher of a generation ago. His home had just been robbed, his possessions plundered, His family had been driven out of doors. The things he owned on this earth had diminished 85%. Yet he wrote, "What now? Let me look about me. They have left me the sun and the moon, a loving wife and friends. They have not taken away my smile or my conscience. They have still left me the providence of God and all the promises of the gospel, my faith, my hopes of heaven, and my love for them too. And still I sleep and digest, I eat and drink, I read and meditate. I am amazed at so much I have left. He that has so many causes of joy is very much in love with sorrow and peevishness, who leaves all these pleasures and chooses to sit down upon his little handful of thorns." Thanksgiving living is that attitude toward God, toward life, toward work, study, which delivers us from sitting down upon our little handful of thorns. Thanksgiving, in short, is thanksgiving when it becomes an entire attitude toward life. On my 8th Thanksgiving with those beloved people at First Baptist Winston-Salem, after serving them and sharing 8 Thanksgivings with them, I looked up once to discover, having gone back over all the sermons and the manuscripts I tried to prepare to preach those Thanksgiving events, I made a surprising discovery. Every one of those sermons, somehow or other, without my knowing it, had turned out to have the same general direction and thrust. Year after year, for 8 years, I had tried to bring to the attention of that congregation the dimensions of their ingratitude. I'd sort of scorned them. Every one of those sermons got around eventually to being negative. Then on the 8th Thanksgiving, I remember it was a kind of transition for me and maybe for them. On our 8th year together, I began a process to correct that trend. And so far as I know, never again preached to my people on their ingratitude. But I tried rather to positivize it and to point a way toward the practice of thanksgiving or something of the sort. And if you do that, you find yourself counting all the reasons you have, in the worst or the best of times, to be grateful. Here we are today, the people of God, not a product of our own manufacture, but the creation of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Charles Keaton has wrote a verse that I profoundly appreciate. He said, "How blessed are we who are his church, who hunger for its blessing. What riches heard in God's pure word. What joyfulness in serving. For Christ is shown when truth is known, how great is our salvation." That says it. Thanksgiving is that capacity of our hearts ever and again, at least periodically, hopefully today, to pause long enough to know that Christ has shown, when truth is known, how great is our salvation. No less than 60 times in the New Testament, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are referred to as saints, hagioi. That is, holy one. But not once, so far as I can tell, and certainly if once or so, very rarely, is this term ever found in the singular. Apparently, one has a hard time being holy alone, locked in one's private room, bordered on the north, south, east, and west only by himself or herself. It takes Christian community to bring holiness to climax. The very idea of being a saint gorges some people. That's the last they would ever want to be, holy. Yet we cannot ignore the fact that holy is a New Testament word with impeccable credentials. Apparently, the living God would have holiness to be a priority attribute of his people. But what exactly does being holy mean? in the context of thanksgiving. In the New Testament sense, a holy human being is one in whom the Holy Spirit is producing an ever-growing resemblance to Jesus Christ. This is what being holy, being church, and being involved in thanksgiving is all about. I had this experience that has become indelible. I shall never forget this. And I must share it with you, and I make no apology for it being intensely personal. It was in college, during my freshman year in college, when my sense of call and mission was all blurred, not very much focused. Oh, I'd been on teams where others had ministered, and I just cut the watermelon. Didn't preach, didn't sing, didn't do all of that. But I was here at college planning, certainly, for some sort of ministry, hoping somehow to get a focus on it, when someone asked me, of all things, if I would go to the Glencoe Baptist Church in Gadsden, Alabama, on a certain Sunday and fill the pulpit. They didn't have a preacher, and they didn't have a pastor, and they didn't have a whole lot of other options on our campus to get somebody to go that weekend, so I went. I was nervous. I had not preached before. And upon arrival a few minutes before the worship service began, and after a conversation about all the details of that service when it did begin, I was in a little room off from the pulpit platform with a few minutes to do whatever you do just before your first sermon. And I'll be honest with you, so help me God, among the things that coursed my mind, golly bum, how am I going to look out there? I don't recall the tie, the shirt, all the details, but I guess I had all of it on. And just about then, I saw a picture on the wall nearby, and that picture had a glass over it. And the way the light struck it through a window, the glass over the picture became a mirror almost in its effect. And there I was down there sort of putting it all together just before going out. And then it dawned on me the facsimile, the likeness in the picture with the glass that had become my mirror was a well-known painting of Jesus. And there I was, down on my whatever, trying to get myself groomed off the pane, the plate glass that faced him. And something happened to me. I thought two thoughts that I shall never forget that moment. One is this. Here I am trying to see me in his likeness. The other thought was, it isn't totally bad to try to spend the rest of your days, Lolly, grooming yourself in his likeness. It's just a little event. Maybe it makes no sense at all to you. But from that moment on, I committed myself to that kind of an endeavor and pilgrimage, grooming oneself into the likeness of God. That means the saint, you and I, are the unanswerable logic of God loose in this world. How blessed then are we, the people of the living God, his church, free in this world and loose with a chance to be holy, loosed and let go every day to produce an ever-growing resemblance to our Lord Christ. That, I think, is what thanksgiving is all about. And this too, only the grateful heart will ever know when God has bestowed his blessing. All the rest will busy themselves keeping score on why they should not be grateful. There are no chains attached to this table, as there were no chains holding him to Golgotha. We can escape its claim if we will. But to do it and to be holy will be as tough as his attempt to do it in Gethsemane and concluding that it couldn't be done and remain true to the mission. There isn't much spectacular here at this table. Just some bread and just a cup. We can sidestep its implications if we choose. But the good news is that through this table and this meal we're about to share can come guideposts along our route into thanksgiving. Here's the locale then of our spiritual achievements. In this unspectacular way, God will greet us this Thanksgiving, and He will nudge us from all the snug burrows we have hitherto walked and make us live gratefully. Only the grateful heart knows when God has bestowed His blessing. All the rest busy themselves keeping score on why they should not be grateful. Come to the table. Come to Thanksgiving. To the table.
The meal was over, the disciples must have thought. And yet, Jesus picked up a loaf of bread and broke it in half and looked in each one's eye and said, "This is my body, broken for you." Let us bow together for prayer. O God, who hast manifested thyself in Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, we cannot fathom such love as broken body on our behalf. And yet in its memory and in its power, we worship thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Covenant was no new concept either in their language or in their lives. So when he said it, they were familiar with what he meant. But the ring of it in light of the cup was different. New covenant in blood. Strange talk. New covenant in blood. The next morning they knew, because there he showed them what he meant on Thursday evening. And as they drank this cup thereafter forever, surely they remembered him. This is the new covenant in my blood. Lord Christ, grant us this day capacity to see ourselves in thine image and to shape ourselves in thine image insofar as thy spirit in us doth work his work. Amen. As oft as ye drink it, do so in remembrance of him.